Grandison.
We are still working on the riverboat to have it there, a restaurant on the water.
Ashland Mayor Chuck Charles says the city has not abandoned its efforts to get a floating restaurant on the Ohio River.
An area Marine is convicted of rape.
And a Lexington Democrat launches her campaign to upset incumbent Senator Mitch McConnell.
In sports, a former Kentucky basketball player has been arrested.
But Luke has the business news.
Isolated showers and thunderstorms are possible tonight with lows in the 60s. The complete weather forecast is coming up. But first, this news.
WSAZ is reporting that a Marine from Scioto County has been convicted of rape and sentenced to 8 years in prison. 22-year-old Tyler Fitzgerald of Minford was convicted of raping a teenager at a party in Scioto County. The station quotes Prosecutor Mark Kuhn as saying a jury in Portsmouth deliberated about 90 minutes Tuesday before finding Fitzgerald guilty of rape and unlawful sexual conduct with a minor.
A judge has refused to order a new trial in a medical malpractice case in which a Carter County couple was awarded a judgment of more than $6 million because of the death of their infant son. The Ashland Independent reports Boyd Circuit Judge David Hagerman denied a motion for a new trial filed by attorneys for Dr. John Short and his employer, Ashland Medical Associates. AMS contracts with King's Daughters Medical Center to provide emergency department services. The lawsuit, filed by Derek and Shara Willis of Grayson, stemmed from the death of their two-month-old son, Derek, in the KDMC emergency room. The jury in the case determined the baby died of suffocation as a direct result of being improperly intubated by Short, saying he had failed to perform his duties as a reasonably competent physician.
Officials from the Federal Aviation Administration are in Breathitt County to investigate Monday's crash of a helicopter being used by the Kentucky State Police to spot and eradicate marijuana. Chuck Holesclaw is with the FAA. He tells WYMT there may not be any quick answers.
Sometimes it can take up to a year or more to figure out what happened. So it just depends on, you know, what you find and what you, you know, when you start looking into everything, what you come up with.
Two men were injured when the chopper crashed, the pilot and a Kentucky State Trooper. They were both treated at a Huntington hospital.
Federal mine safety regulators say 18 miners have been killed on the job nationwide so far this year. That's down slightly from 19 fatalities through the first half of 2012. The Mine Safety and Health Administration says this year's fatalities include 9 in coal mining and 9 in metal and non-metal mining accidents. One miner in each industry was a contractor. MSHA Director John Main says the fatalities have one recurring element. They were preventable.
Democrat Allison Lundergan Grimes has officially launched her bid for the U.S. Senate seat, now held by Republican Mitch McConnell. Grimes told supporters in her hometown of Lexington last night the incumbent has held the office for almost three decades and has prevented votes on more than 400 bills.
He has stood in the way and blocked votes from ever even coming to the floor. While Senator McConnell might be thriving, Kentucky is only barely surviving. After nearly 30 years in office, I'm here to tell you, Senator McConnell, it stops now.
Grimes claims McConnell has blocked legislation that would have helped many Kentuckians for reasons she calls petty and small.
Another Democrat, Ed Marksberry, who is a long-shot candidate for U.S. Senate, has been added to the roster of speakers at the annual Fancy Farm political picnic in western Kentucky. An Owensboro building contractor, Marksberry faces Democratic powerhouse Allison Lundergan Grimes in next year's May primary. Marksberry has been allotted 5 minutes to speak at the event. Feeling overlooked in the race, Marksberry filed a lawsuit against the Kentucky Democratic Party, claiming it is showing favoritism towards Grimes. The other two Democratic candidates, University of Louisville professor Greg Leichty and Louisville music promoter Benny J. Smith, aren't on the list of speakers. The political speeches are part of a church picnic that doubles as a fundraiser for St. Jerome Parish. The event typically draws some 10,000 people and generates about $250,000.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is holding an open house Saturday at Grayson Lake to give people a chance to see how the lake helps reduce flooding in the region. Michelle Myris is a senior park ranger with the Corps.
We're offering the public an opportunity to look inside the Grayson Lake Dam intake structure so that you can learn about how the Corps of Engineers helps to reduce negative impacts of flood damage. To go inside the intake structure of a dam, those opportunities aren't usually there.
Myra says there's probably a lot of interest in flood control right now because of all the rain that has fallen in eastern Kentucky this spring and summer. She says the open house begins at noon and will also include information on water safety.
Ashland's mayor is hoping construction of a parking lot along the Ohio River will bolster the city's efforts to secure a floating restaurant and other development on the waterfront. Chuck Charles says commissioners are likely to vote next week on a contract with Tri-State Lawn Care for the purchase of labor, materials, and equipment for the project.
I think it would encourage a lot more people to come down to the river if they have a place to park. So it's going to kind of cover both ways. So, but with that infrastructure of both electric and water down there, then we'll be set up to be able to lure a boat in there.
The parking lot would cost more than $124,000. City commissioners heard a first reading on the proposal 2 weeks ago.
Grayson City Council has okayed legislation clearing the way for the sale of alcohol in the Carter County town. The ordinance regulating such sales passed this week and has been sent to Kentucky's Alcohol Beverage Commission for its stamp of approval. Voters in the city favored liquor sales in a special June election. Bob Janung operates a health club in Grayson. He tells WSAZ the additional revenue the city will receive from the sale of alcohol should help it attract more restaurants and promote other development, too.
And I hope that my tax money goes back into my community so that young men and young women will be able to do the things that they can to find recreation, to create jobs, so they don't have to move out of Grayson and Carter County.
City officials tell the Huntington Station vendors seeking a license to sell liquor in Grayson will soon be able to apply for one.
The Maysville Ledger Independent is reporting that the residents of Fleming County have decided to allow Echo Valley Hills Vineyard to sell wine. The decision was made yesterday during a special election held in the county's PVA district. County Clerk Jared Fritz tells the paper the election was decided by a wide margin, with 146 people voting to allow sales and 20 opposed.
Moorhead State University's AmeriCorps program is among 12 in Kentucky that will receive a share of nearly $4 million in new grant money. The announcement was made today by Cabinet for Health and Family Services Secretary Audrey Taines Haynes. Moorhead's program is getting just over $379,000. The money will be used to provide reading tutoring for academically at-risk students utilizing the Great Leaps reading curriculum. It'll also go to recruit and train community volunteers to be reading tutors. The Prestonsburg-based Unite Service Corps is receiving more than $543,000. That money will be used for math tutoring and drug abuse prevention education for at-risk students.
A reduction in the size of a federal grant distributed through the Kentucky Department of Education has forced the suspension of all programs and services offered by the Lewis County Boys and Girls Club. That's according to the chairman of the club's advisory board, Kevin Duff. He says the club has been told there have been cuts to the 21st Century Community Learning Grant, which funnels money into Lewis County for free after-school programs that benefit hundreds of youngsters between the ages of 6 and 18. Duff says a fundraising effort is underway to try to salvage the club.
We feel like if we can make $10,000 by January 1st, we can at least open the doors back up. Now, that's not going to, $10,000 isn't going to fund us for perpetuity, but it'll let us start again.
Duff says the Lewis County Club supports athletic and academic programs, as well as one free meal per day.
Efforts to diversify the kinds of businesses working with the city of Lexington are showing some success. The 11th annual Bluegrass Area Minority Business Expo takes place Thursday and Friday. The expo is designed to help spur business for companies owned by women and minorities. Expo co-chair Marilyn Clark also works in purchasing for the Lexington-Fayette Urban County Government.
I can tell you that a lot of the collaborations just in my position here at LFUCG, some of the things that we've done with some of the other organizations and some of the businesses that attend, we have reached our 10% goal this year for the first time and exceeded it. A number of the companies that we work with throughout the year are part of the expo.
Among the topics under discussion at this week's expo is the Rupp Arena Reconstruction Project. Organizers hope to see more minorities and women winning contracts for that work.
Carter Caves State Resort Park is hosting a paddle trip on the beautiful Grayson Lake this August 10th. The scenic outing will begin at the park at 8:30 that morning, and transportation will be provided to the canoe site. Park naturalist Coy Ainsley says they've done this trip twice now, and it has been so well received that they wanted to get one more in this summer.
Along the way, it's a beautiful lake. We do a no-wake zone area of Grayson Lake, so we're not down near the dam and the marina area. But it is totally surrounded with nice sandstone cliff sides. And depending on how much rain we've had, there's some areas that have some nice waterfalls that you can actually paddle underneath of to help cool you off in the summertime.
The park provides everything needed for an enjoyable trip, but folks might want to pack their own lunches and sunscreen. Cost for the trip is $35. To reserve your seat for the 7-mile excursion, call 1-800-325-0059. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Johnson, Rowan, and Carter. This afternoon, cloudy with a few isolated showers, highs in the mid-70s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a few isolated showers, patchy dense fog developing towards dawn, lows in the mid-60s. For tomorrow, partly cloudy with a few isolated showers in the morning, then patchy dense fog in the morning, highs in the lower 80s. For Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the lower 60s. Friday, partly cloudy with highs in the lower 80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 60s. On Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs in the upper 70s. Chance of rain is at 50% for Saturday. And Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the mid-60s. And for Sunday, partly cloudy with a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, and highs are expected to be in the upper 70s. Currently in Ashland, it is 72 degrees. It is 74 degrees in Flemingsburg and Winchester. And in Lexington, Inez, and here in Moorhead, it is currently 73 degrees.
It is 4:43. You are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is good to have your company on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment this afternoon, it's no secret that Kentucky's coal industry has been hurting in recent years, and renewed pledges from the federal government to curb carbon emissions pose even more challenges. But as MSPR's Joshua Grandison reports, Kentucky may still have a fighting chance in energy.
This plan begins with cutting carbon pollution by changing the way we use energy, using less dirty energy, using more clean energy.
That was President Obama at Georgetown University this past June. During his speech, the president outlined his administration's plan to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to combat climate change. What this means for the coal industry is more federal regulation. Pike County, Kentucky, is one of the nation's leading coal producers. In fact, according to the county's judge executive, Pike County has been the largest producer of coal since records have been kept.
Until the Obama administration and EPA's war on coal, the war on coal only ended up on the eastern Kentucky coal fields and state of West Virginia coal fields. He's killed our coal industry. We went from 30 to 33 million tons down to 10.8 last year.
Judge Executive Wayne Rutherford also says existing EPA regulations have put 5,000 miners throughout eastern Kentucky out of work and have forced his county into serious budget trouble, as well as crippling his local economy. However, he doesn't think new regulations will have much of an impact.
They've already killed us. The new EPA regulation won't do anything to us. It's already gone. We're going to continue to produce some coal, but it's not going to generate. The coal severance tax for development that it has in the past is not going to be there. We're going to have to look for new revenue streams, in county government besides the coal severance tax and the minerals tax.
So, if the coal industry is on its deathbed, what can be used to replace it as a source of revenue for the Commonwealth and as an energy source? And if his county's primary source of revenue has been devastated, why isn't Rutherford screaming in frustration? To answer the second question, he knows something that gives him reason to believe the future for his county is bright.
We are the number one producer of natural gas in the Commonwealth of Kentucky. We produce 53% in this one county. Of the 14,000 wells we have about 6,500 of those are in Pike County.
Like coal, natural gas is a fossil fuel, but natural gas produces 44% less carbon dioxide than coal when consumed, meaning it has a significantly lower environmental impact. Pike County is already poised to capitalize on its vast stores of the resource.
If the Obama administration don't kill us in regard to our natural gas, we will have the first natural gas service station in eastern Kentucky in operation here right next to the EQT, which the Equitable Gas is regional offices here in the area that they serve.
EQT is one of the largest producers of natural gas in the Appalachian Basin, with operations not only in Kentucky but also West Virginia, Virginia, and Pennsylvania. EQT has existed in the region for 120 years and is planning to soon use natural gas for more than just electricity.
All of their vehicles in the future are going to be changed over to natural gas. They have decided to put in a public gas system because natural gas is one half the price of diesel, one half the price of gasoline at any time, don't matter what the price is. But the new EPA regulations, So what?
Regardless of what the outcome of the so-called war on coal means for Kentucky and Appalachia as a whole, one thing is inarguable. The face of energy in the region is changing. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Joshua Grandison.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Caleb has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Kentucky Folk Arts Center, presenting an exhibition of original artwork by David Lucas. On display through October 11th, the exhibition features more than 80 paintings and drawings by the Letcher County artist. Landscapes, portraits, and scenes of daily life in eastern Kentucky are on display. Located on 1st Street in Moorhead and open Mondays through Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., the Kentucky Folk Arts Center is a cultural, educational, and economic development service of Moorhead State University.
A former Kentucky basketball star has been arrested, and the Reds are in action on the West Coast. Good afternoon, I'm Caleb Noe with your Mountain Edition Sports Report. Police say Houston Rockets forward and former Kentucky basketball star Terrence Jones has been arrested and accused of stomping on a homeless man's leg in Jones's home city of Portland, Oregon. Police spokesman Sergeant Pete Simpson says the incident happened early Wednesday outside a downtown nightclub. A sergeant saw the 6'9" Jones walk by a doorway where two homeless men were sleeping, and he yelled, "Wake up," before lifting his foot and stomping on the legs of one. Jones was booked into the Multnomah County Jail on a harassment charge. The homeless man, identified as 46-year-old Daniel Kellerer, had a minor injury that did not require immediate medical attention. Lots of basketball events coming up in Lexington. The University of Kentucky announced yesterday that the second annual alumni charity game will take place at 7 p.m. on September 9th. The game will bring together John Calipari's former players who have gone on to NBA careers. And Big Blue Madness will be even bigger this year. One day after the Cats' first public practice, Rupp Arena will host an NBA preseason game. The game will feature former Kentucky stars Anthony Davis and Darius Miller playing for the New Orleans Pelicans. They'll be pitted against former UK sensation John Wall and the Washington Wizards. Former Kentucky Wildcats guard Archie Goodwin is expected to get his professional career started as a member of the Phoenix Suns. Goodwin says he and the Suns coaching staff both believe he can make a contribution right away.
Definitely told me I'm going to play right away. He wanted to make that clear, and they were excited to get me as I was excited to be there. They said, you know, from the get-go, they knew that I was going to be a special player. Felt like I was going to be one of the better players out of this draft. And I felt the same, and I know with my work ethic and the way I compete that I'm going to make that happen.
Goodwin was selected by the Oklahoma City Thunder as the 29th pick of this year's NBA draft, but was then traded to the Phoenix Suns. The Cincinnati Reds, riding a 5-game losing streak, are trying to avoid a 3-game series sweep on the West Coast this afternoon. The Padres started the game with 8-9 pitcher Eric Stoltz, and the Reds sent out Homer Bailey. Currently, the score is 1-0 in favor of the Reds. Cincinnati remains 6 games back in the NL Central to the division-leading Pirates, who now have the best record in baseball. The Reds are 4.5 behind the second-place Cardinals. In other midday Major League action, the Tigers throttled the Nationals 11-1 in Detroit, and the A's and Blue Jays are at it in Southern California. That one's tied at 1 as Toronto just now drove in its first run. Major League Baseball has told the union which players it intends to suspend in its drug investigation and which ones will receive lengthier penalties for their roles in the Biogenesis case. Two people familiar with the talks have told the Associated Press the sides are trying to reach as many agreements as possible that would avoid grievance hearings and that could push back an announcement until Friday. The Lexington Legends had an early road contest today against the Kannapolis Intimidators. Lexington broke the ice in the top of the seventh with 2 runs, only to be outdone in the bottom of the eighth when Kannapolis drove in 3. Despite the loss, the Legends are still 1 game ahead of second-place Charleston in the South Atlantic League's Southern Division. MSU Baseball has added a pitcher to its roster. Head coach Mike McGuire says he hopes Luke Schneider can make an immediate impact this spring.
We project Luke as a guy that has a chance to walk in and be in our rotation. Now, that being said, he's got to come in and earn it and got to pitch well, but we recruit him as though, you know, we think he's a guy who has a chance to be a starter for us right away.
Schneider comes from Indian Hills Community College in Iowa, where he was 2-0 last season. The 6'6 lefty was 18-2 in his stint at Palmer Ridge High School in Colorado. While the Cincinnati Bengals are still believed to be relatively young on offense, the defense appears to have a mixture of new guys and seasoned veterans. One defensive veteran believes this year's camp has gotten off to a good start. Domata Pico is a veteran on the Bengals' defensive line, and he says the defense is making the most of its preseason drills.
When we're out there on that field, we try not to waste any snaps. We make the most of every play, and we just try to get better one play at a time. And as the days go by, man, we keep getting better and better. You know, good things are going to happen for us. So we got a lot of talent on the defensive line, and that's what you need, man. You need to have that. And but not only talent, but you got to have a big heart.
The Bengals' defense is considered by some to be one of the more talented in the league, with Pico and Geno Atkins anchoring the defensive line, followed by free agent and former Pittsburgh Steeler James Harrison at middle linebacker. The Bengals are believed to compete for the AFC North championship. Based on an ESPN report, the NFL Pro Bowl will be handled a lot differently this year. Instead of the usual AFC versus NFC format, Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders will each draft a 43-player team on January 22nd. That's just 4 days before the game is played in Hawaii. Along with these changes, kickoffs will also be eliminated from the game for safety reasons. Fall football camp kicks off Monday, August 5th for the MSU Eagles, and with a new coaching staff in place, the only thing left to figure out is who the quarterback will be. Offensive coordinator Craig Mullins, in his first year with the Eagles, says it's an open battle going into camp.
I don't think I've ever been a part of a team where we've had this high caliber quality kids coming in, and you know, we've got 2 veterans that will compete for it. All we need is somebody just to go take it by the throat and grab a hold of it and say it's theirs. And the sooner we can sort that out, I think the better it's going to help our football team.
The 5 quarterbacks competing for the job are redshirt junior Boone Goldsmith, redshirt freshman Logan Johnson, and 3 true freshmen, Mitch Gillis, Jack Sherry, and Austin Gehafer. Boyd County's football program is getting settled in and prepared for its first season under head coach John Gillum. He says even though his schedule this fall is a challenge, he's prepared to lead his Lions through it all.
You know, they didn't help me any by the teams that left the schedule and the teams that joined the schedule. So we picked up some tough teams, and you know, I'm looking at this more of the long haul than the quick fix. So we're going to try to basically do things right and get up there and compete and represent Boyd County High School in the right way. And
Boyd County is looking to improve on its 5-6 record from last year. The Lions will open 2013 with a trip to Louisa to meet Lawrence County. As the MSU soccer team's season approaches and head coach Warren Lipka believes his team can improve on one aspect of its game from last year, and that's offensive production. Jade Flory is a junior transfer from Youngstown State, and she believes she can help provide that need.
We got a transfer in Jade Flory from, from the Horizon League up at Youngstown State. She was an all-Horizon player. She was on the all-freshman team her first year, and that's what we needed, was our goal scoring.
The Eagles finished 2-12-4 last season with a conference record of 2-5-3. That's it for today's sportscast on Mountain Edition. Now back to Josh and Dan with news. I'm Caleb Noe.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Season tickets for Morehead State football, soccer, and volleyball are now on sale, as well as single-game tickets for football. Single event tickets for soccer and volleyball will be available on game days. For more information on single game or season tickets, dial 783-2386 for the MSU Eagle ticket office or go online to msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks wrapped up a buoyant month of July, with all three indices gaining between 4 and 7%. And for the NASDAQ, it was the best month of 2013, and yet the last day of the month was less than stellar, as stocks wobbled a bit after the Federal Reserve left its bond buying program unchanged, and the Dow Industrials did actually finish with a mild loss of 21.05 at 15,499.54. The S&P 500 was down 0.23 at 1685.73, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 9.9 to finish at 3626.37. New York Stock Exchange of breath was 15 to 14 positive. Gold was down 0.8%, while oil was up almost 2%. And, of course, the Fed was in the focus today, and ahead of the Federal Reserve meeting's conclusion, the U.S. government released its first estimate of second quarter GDP, which showed the economy grew at a 1.7% annual rate, and that was an improvement over the first quarter's 1.1% annual rate. And, of course, the second quarter GDP much better than anticipated. Separately, payroll processor ADP said the private sector added 200,000 jobs in July, flying high above expectations, and ADP numbers are often seen as a precursor to the monthly jobs numbers from the Labor Department, which are due out this Friday. In earnings-related news, there was not a whole lot of earnings news today, although Comcast and MasterCard, both stocks rallied today as their earnings and revenue both beat expectations. Shares of industrial gas producer Air Products rose after hedge fund manager Bill Ackman disclosed a 9.8% stake in the company. Turning now to individual stocks, it was Ashland Incorporated up 22 cents at 86.84, AK Steel down 8 cents at 3.40, CSX up 10 cents at 24.81, Marathon Petroleum up 32 cents at 73.33, AEP down 20 cents at 46.35, and Fifth Third Bank was down 2 cents to finish at 19.24. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR is provided in part by Toyota Motor Manufacturing Kentucky. Each day, around 2,000 vehicles are made at the Georgetown plant. A factory tour gives you an insightful look at what goes into building the Avalon, Venza, and Camry. You can ride a guided tram car and see the process from start to finish, including a glimpse of giant cold-rolled steel coils that automatically presses shape into doors, hoods, and roofs. Tours are Monday through Friday, and reservations are highly recommended. ToyotaGeorgetown.com.
Taking another look at the region's weather forecast, cloudy skies this afternoon with few isolated showers, highs in the mid-70s. And for tonight, mostly cloudy with a few isolated showers and patchy dense fog developing toward dawn with lows in the mid-60s. Currently in Ashland, it's 72 degrees, it's 74 degrees in Flemingsburg and Winchester. It's 73 degrees in Lexington, Inez, and here in Moorhead.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Mike Williams, Tanner Boyd, Chase Johnson, Sam Steyer, and Caleb Noe. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Joshua Grandison and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.